In a world that's always changing, staying informed is key. That's why you trust First News Now for your latest local news. When it comes to your finances, trust First United Bank for the solutions you need. Whether it's a checking account, home loan, savings goal, or business service, we're here to help you make smart financial decisions. This is Charlie Day, Market Manager at First United Bank, where our team always puts you first. Please stop by to see us today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 498-528.
When your comfort's on the line, you don't want just anybody showing up at your door. You want neighbors you know and trust. That's why Hometown HVAC and Plumbing has you covered with two licensed technicians right here in Crittenden County. Whether it's heating, cooling, or plumbing, Hometown delivers expert service with a hometown touch. For trusted repairs and installation, call Hometown today at 270-388-0467. That's 270-388-0467. Hometown, where local service means everything.
A good Monday morning. For those of you who have been praying for cooler weather, or some fall-like weather, you've got it now. Gusty, cold weather yesterday, just kind of damp, and a little bit of sleet or snow spitting right about dark Sunday afternoon. So fall's here, deer season's underway, and Shear Taxidermy down in Tulu is open and ready to serve you. He will cape and quarter and debone your deer and prepare it for that out-of-state transport. As you know, with the CWD, the disease scare, and cases found different places across Kentucky, you cannot transport a whole deer out of state. So tell all your folks who come in and deer hunt from out of Kentucky to be sure and be aware of those. But free caping on all mounts that are brought to Shear for his taxidermy work. And throughout November, all during the rifle deer season, Barrett Shear will be open until midnight at his taxidermy shop there. It's at his house on Broadway Street down in Tulu. So his number is 969-4132. Give him a shout if you need fine taxidermy work. And he says that he has the best prices in Crittenden County. So a lot on the plate today, so let's get right to it. We've got a great lineup of stuff. There's been a great deal to talk about the Fluorspar article I had in the Crittenden Press last week. And generating, just like I said, a lot of conversation, people asking more questions. So I gave a shout to Russ Adams. He's a mining engineer who explored spar here about 12 years ago. He now lives in North Carolina. He's a University of Kentucky graduate, and a lot of folks around here remember him and know him. Very versed in this type of mining, and a lot of energy right now around this, and it's some excitement in town because of what it could mean for the community. But I'm going to visit with Russ here at the end of the show on the last segment and get his insight on what could happen and how it might go about happening if they were to begin mining spar again here in Crittenden County. We're going to take a real short break, and I'll be right back with news. And don't forget, if you need a plumber, Hometown HVAC also does plumbing, and they are on the spot in a hurry. A number of things going on in the community this week. We'll get to some of that in just a minute. But first, I want to catch you up on the candidates who have already begun to file for office. Now, the first election of 2026 will be in May. It's a primary election. That means the Democrats will have an election at that point, and the Republicans will have an election at that point, and then the winners from those would face off in the general election in November. So far, Danny Fowler has filed for District 1 Magistrate, and so has Rob Horak. Nathan Ratley has filed for Judge Executive, and of course incumbent Perry Newcomb has filed as well to seek re-election as Judge Executive. Brad Gilbert has filed as a coroner. Some of the others, Daryl Tabor has filed for re-election as County Clerk. Sheriff Evan Head has filed. PVA Todd Perriman has filed. Bart Frazier has filed for re-election as County Attorney, and he will have a challenger in the Republican primary. That's Chad Nelson. And Robbie Kirk has filed to run for jailer again. Of course, he has been the jailer here before. And Brennan Cruz of Cutter and Cash and the Kentucky Grass. He's part of the grass, I guess. Brennan Cruz has filed to run for magistrate in District 5. Don't forget, now tomorrow morning, the Crittenden County School District will host its annual Veterans Day program. That starts at 9 a.m. Tuesday, November 11th on Veterans Day. That's going to be out at Rocket Arena. The public is invited. They usually have a great crowd out there, particularly they want the veterans. So come out and be honored by this tradition that the school district puts on every year out at Rocket Arena. Guests should enter through the main entrance. If you need handicap accessibility, go down to the lower level of the arena. This year's featured speaker will be Chad Nelson. We just mentioned Chad is running for office now. He's a U.S. Army veteran and first assistant Commonwealth attorney over in the 56th Judicial District. That's Lyon, Livingston, Caldwell, and Trigg counties. But he lives here in Marion, and he served two deployments to Baghdad over in Iraq. And his military decorations include two Bronze Star medals and the Meritorious Service Award. He also earned the Army Commendation Medal and some others. After that event, again, that starts at 9 a.m., and after that event, Marion Baptist Church will serve lunch over at the church. Fredonia Valley Heritage Society and the Fredonia American Legion Post 103 will host a Veterans Day service. That will be at 11:11 a.m. tomorrow on Tuesday, November 11th, at the Veterans Memorial there in Fredonia, right there on the main drag. All veterans will be recognized, and there will be special honors for Charlie Company, a former Princeton Army Reserve unit. The guest speaker will be veteran Mike Boyd. Everyone is invited to that. Bring a chair. And lunch will be provided for veterans following the event, and that will be at the Fredonia Lions Club. Now, the American Legion Post 217 down in Berna, they will not be having a Veterans Day event this week, but their annual Thanksgiving fundraising dinner will be at 11 a.m., from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., I should say, on Sunday, November 16th. Sunday, November 16th. And that dinner will be held at the post there on Highway 60 in Berna. And just also for information, there will be no breakfast at the post in November. They do that most of the year. I'm going to get you a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with some more news.
Here at YTG Insurance, we take pride in our agency, our community, and you. As an independent agent, we offer choice, personal service, and we're local, right here in your neighborhood. From home and auto to life coverage, YTG Insurance has you protected. Got a farm or business? We can insure that too. We work with multiple carriers to find the best coverage at the best price, tailored to fit your financial needs. So why wait? Visit YTG Insurance on West Gum Street today, where trust, service, and community come first, and every policy comes with an agent.
Something you will want to go ahead and get on your calendar for early December will be the Chamber of Commerce's Lunch and Learn event. Brandy Rogers, she's family court judge here in Crittenden County and Union and Webster as well. She will be there to discuss the ripple effect of family stability on local economies. It's going to be a very interesting program. You'll be able to hear about her journey to the family court bench and how unstable families really do affect us all, no matter what community you're in. So again, that will be on December 4th at 12 p.m. and that will be upstairs at the Farmers Bank, Crittenden County Chamber of Commerce event, Lunch and Learn with Judge Rogers. Well, of course, it's rifle deer season. A lot of folks out this weekend hunting. The weather was really warm on Saturday and cool and windy on Sunday, but Crittenden Countyans bagged almost 400 deer over the first 2 days of the season. That's it's down from historic figures. However, over the last, three or four years, that's kind of been the trend. Just a lower harvest in the county the last, 5 years maybe. Nonetheless, still taking a lot of deer out of here. And something you'll be interested in knowing, you can read all about it in the Crittenden Press, is your hunting and fishing licenses will be going up in price starting in January. Now, if you've already got your license this year, you'll be in great shape for paying the cheaper price. In January, if you buy it after January, and those things are good till the end of February, so you only have a couple of months if you buy them in January before you'll need another one, but the price will go up, and then it will go up every other year. There's been approval for an every other year increase based on the consumer price index. So inflation's getting you on your hunting and fishing license now. Crittenden Livingston Water District, they'll be having a meeting this afternoon to discuss some things. And it's my understanding that the Public Service Commission has approved its rate increase. Now, it's not going to be as much as the district had asked for, but we're going to get some more information on that tonight. And you'll want to be sure and grab your Crittenden Press and get all those details, because if you live in the county, in Crittenden County or Livingston County, and you have county water, you will be seeing a price increase, and we'll get some information on when that will go into effect. So in Marion, I have the police report that will be in the Crittenden Press this week. It's our monthly report, and it's good news because felony and misdemeanor arrests are below average, or they were in October anyway. However, traffic and other citations were up above the norm. There were no DUI arrests again last month. That's the third month in a row, so folks are behaving in that regard. There's been 7 all year, and that's about normal. Those have gone down ever since Marion has gone wet. Kind of odd, counterintuitive, you might say. But you can see that entire Marion Police Department report in this week's Crittenden Press. One other thing in news before I get to sports, people ask me all the time, when's the courthouse going to be done? Well, if you drive by it every day, you see there's steady progress, and it will, right now, it's scheduled to be completed, the construction phase of it, in February of 2027, so over a year away, and then occupation of that building will begin sometime in the spring of 2027. We're going to take another commercial break and I'll be right back with sports.
Are you hungry for slow cooked, fall off the bone flavor? Stop by Marion Pit Barbecue, a local legend serving up mouth-watering barbecue for over 40 years. From juicy ribs and chicken to our famous pulled pork, Marion Pit Barbecue offers big portions and even bigger value 7 days a week. On Tuesday and Friday, try our loaded smoked potato. Wednesday and Saturday, hickory smoked ribs. And Thursday and Sunday, barbecue chickens. Marion Pit Barbecue, located on South Main Street in Marion. Come hungry, leave happy. Don't forget the sauce.
Well, your Rocket football team won their first round game in the playoffs. That was Friday night out at Rocket Stadium. Just a great football game. 28-20, Rockets won that game. It was just an incredible football game. A lot of people came out. The stands were full. Just a great atmosphere, and the Rockets will advance now and play this Friday night up at Owensboro Catholic against the number one team in Class 2A. Going to be a big challenge up there. Players of the game for Friday night's win over McLean County, Quinn Summers was Offensive Player of the Week. Defensive player was Braden Poindexter, and special teams were Mitchell Brown and Noah Byford. They had they combined for a great play, really won the ball game. Check out rocketsfootball.com and you can read all about that big play. And lineman of the week was Jake Rich. In some other sports, in Crittenden County, the middle school softball team held its postseason awards ceremony the other night up at game day in Marion, and the most valuable players were Carly Gent and Addie Nelson. You can see a complete list and even see their picture with all their awards. That'll be in this week's Crittenden Press. Now, in the last segment of the show, we're going to talk floor spar. And if you don't know what that is, ask somebody that's 50 years old or older. Floor spar used to be king, just like coal in Crittenden County. And there's a chance that some of this mining could come back. And that would be a great economic windfall for this community. So let's find out a little bit more about what could be on the table. I want to welcome Russ Adams to the program this morning. Russ has a lot of experience in mining and exploration, and I wanted to bring him in and get the feed off of his knowledge about this floor spar, the new renewed interest in floor spar. Russ, I know you lived here in Marion for a while when you were doing some exploration. Kind of give us a little bit of a background on yourself.
Well, I actually am a mining engineer, graduated from the University of Kentucky, and worked most of my career has been in hard rock, limestone mining, and things like that. And working for an engineering firm, we got involved with an exploration project there in the district, mostly Crittenden County, looking for fluorite. And we drilled for 6 months. We had six drill rigs running 24/7, and drilled about 55,000 feet of core. And there's still a lot of fluorspar there, along with associated minerals like zinc and other minerals.
What year was that? It's about 10 years ago, wasn't it?
It was 2012.
Okay, a little more to you. And yeah. And you were working for a company, but you were associated with the Frasers and some of the other folks that were tied to maybe the Moody's. I don't a lot of names.
I worked for an engineering firm out of Lexington, ECSI, which actually is no longer. It was bought out a few years ago, but we just to gain knowledge of the industry and history. You know, Bill Frazier, Buddy Davidson, Boyce Moody, BJ Mays were people that are very knowledgeable and were around when the mining was going on there in the district. Unfortunately, we're losing those resources.
You know, I wrote about that in the article I had in the newspaper last week. Just a lot of that, some of it proprietary information that's just gone. But the fortunate thing is I think some of those guys had bundled up some leases, and that's what's being some options have been bought on actually purchasing those. And so tell me, why is there renewed interest right now? The some type of global climate in political and economic issues?
Well, all of the fluorspar that's used in the U.S. is mined somewhere else. We don't have a domestic production of fluorite currently. That, with the political environment we have throughout the world, that gives you a reason to want a domestic supply. Because you just don't know what the climate's going to be moving forward.
Mm-hmm. But I've also heard the argument that what we have is such a strategic supply that we don't want to really use ours right now. We want to wait until, maybe our backs are in a corner or something. Does that make sense?
I guess to some extent that makes sense. But the other side of that too, you're not going to start producing just at the flip of a switch. There's a lot of development that will have to take place in order to get to the resource and start producing and processing that to get to acid-grade fluorspar.
And gosh, that'll be millions, maybe billions of dollars, I don't know, of investment. What would it take to get a mine up and going these days?
My opinion, it would take, you're talking millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And then the processing facility will be similar. You're talking, a few million dollars. Mm-hmm. But my opinion, if you ever get someone to open up and build the processing facility, other mines will probably open to follow that. Mm-hmm. The processing facility is a huge investment.
Mm-hmm. And before we started recording the show, you were telling me that this fluorspar is here is difficult to mine. And why is that?
Generally speaking, you're in narrow vein mining. It's the mineralization where the fluorite is located is in faults, which are near vertical faults. Historically, the largest producing mines in the district were bedded deposits laying near horizontal. Those are not very plentiful, and there's just not a lot of it there. So it's very expensive to mine when you're talking narrow vein mining.
What makes it expensive?
Because of there's not a lot of mineral in the area that you're mining. You're not mining these huge underground seams like you think of in coal or limestone and things like that. It's generally narrow, and you're having to take a lot of the associated host rock, be it sandstone or limestone, and then process that stuff to get pure fluorite.
And how deep is it?
I don't know where it stops. It's very deep. Some of it outcrops. You can pick samples at the surface, and then some are very, very deep. Well, I don't remember the deepest hole we drilled, but there's still fluorite down there.
And you would shaft mine this or put in a slope or just take the open turn off?
Most likely it would be shaft. And then you would mine horizontally over to the mineralized area in the fault so as to not disturb the area where the fault is, because it could be quite unstable.
Mm-hmm. The first part of your answer cut off on the phone call. Can you reiterate that?
To access the vein that you're going to mine in there, you would most likely have a vertical shaft, and then you would mine in a horizontal distance over to the mineralized area process and mine it and get it out to the processing plant.
So, you've done obviously a good amount of exploration here. And what do you think the chances are? Crittenden County was the world's leading producer, or at least Crittenden and Livingston, Southern Illinois was back in the day, the so-called fluorspar district. What are the chances of us turning this around again and being able to get on the map and put some people to work?
The price of the finished grade product, as long as the price is low, that expense of mining that is prohibitive for mining. Mm-hmm. If the price goes up or political environments to where we can't get it from elsewhere and need a domestic supply, then that's, in my opinion, that's the first place we would want to look.
So it's expensive here, therefore the price has to be really high on the global market.
Correct.
Yeah. So,
and that's part of what happened when we were drilling down there looking for domestic supply, is the global price of fluorspar came down considerably, and it kind of hurt the potential for mining at that time.
Mm. And it ebbs and flows like any market does. I know I hear about it all the time. And of course, now it's kind of going up. What's the price threshold, I guess, per ton that it would have to get at and stay at for it to be feasible to come in here and start mining?
If I remember correctly, when we were mining there, it was over $600 a ton. and it came down considerably during our exploration project. So in today's dollar, I don't really have the answer for that.
Well, I appreciate your insight and your knowledge on this. Russ, thank you. I know you're over where now, in North Carolina?
Yeah, in Western North Carolina.
Yeah, okay. Well, again, thank you, and I appreciate you visiting with us on the show today.
All right, thank you, Chris.
And that's going to be a wrap on this morning's program. We'll talk to you a little later in the week. This has been Chris Evans reporting for the Crittenden Press.